Welcome to Project I Am with Dr. David Schloss. Grab your coffee, green tea, or smoothie. Find your favorite listening spot or put on your walking shoes. Ready? Let's go.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Project I Am, the podcast where we explore the intersection of healing, identity, and personal transformation through a therapeutic lens. I'm your host, Dr. David Schloss, and today I want to talk about something that's deeply rooted in the work we do as therapists, counselors, and guides. The many roles we play in the lives of our clients. Therapy at its best is not formulaic. It's not a rigid application of skills or theory. At the end of the day, therapy is relational. It is sacred. And as that relationship evolves, so does the role that we are called to embody. Sometimes we are a mirror, other times a midwife, a fellow traveler, or even a sanctuary keeper. So today I want to walk you through 9 archetypal roles that therapists often step into. And whether you're a clinician, a student, or someone curious about the deeper layers of therapy, this is for you. But before we begin, here's the disclaimer.
This podcast is created for educational and inspirational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional mental health services, diagnosis, or treatment. Although Dr. Schloss is a licensed mental health professional, listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship. The content shared here is intended to support your personal development and mental wellness journey, but it should not be considered medical or psychological advice tailored to your individual situation. If you are in need of therapeutic support, please seek help from a qualified mental health provider in your area. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact a local crisis line or emergency services immediately. Views expressed by any guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect views of Dr. Schloss or the views of Project I Am.
Today, I want to begin by reflecting on something essential to the heart of therapy. Something that often goes unspoken, even among therapists themselves. This is the roles we take on as clinicians. If you've ever been in therapy, or you sit in the therapist chair yourself, well, then you know that therapy isn't just about techniques. It's about presence. It's about relationship. And more than anything, it's about willing to become what the moment, the client, needs most. Recent research continues to affirm that the therapeutic relationship is the single most powerful predictor of client outcomes, more than any specific intervention or model. The APA Task Force on Evidence-Based Relationships emphasized that alliance, empathy, positive regard, and therapist congruence significantly impact client progress, regardless of any modality. But what does it actually look like to embody those qualities in real time? Therapists, whether consciously or unconsciously, step into a variety of relational and symbolic roles. We are not just listeners or diagnosticians. We become midwives to new beginnings. We mirror truths back to the client. We walk beside them as fellow travelers. At times, we serve as sanctuary keepers holding the emotional container when it feels like everything is falling apart. Neuroscience supports this fluid relational approach. In the polyvagal theory, Stephen Porges reminds us that the nervous system responds more to felt safety and connection than to logic. And research in interpersonal neurobiology by Dan Siegel shows that healing happens not just through insight, but through emotionally attuned, regulated relationships that literally reshape the brain. So in today's episode, I want to walk through 9 of these archetypal roles that therapists often embody, not as rigid identities, but as fluid responses to what the healing process requires. Because therapy is not a static practice. Rather, it's a sacred dance, and the roles we step into, whether guide, mirror, confessor, or sanctuary keeper, are not about performance. They are about presence. Let's dive straight in. 1. The midwife. Healing doesn't happen by fixing what's broken. It happens by making space for what's trying to be born. You see, in this role, the therapist is present for the psychological birth of something new, a truth, a story, a reclaimed part of the self. We are not forcing it, but we are trusting the process like a midwife attending to a birth that has its own timing and its own wisdom. This really echoes Carl Rogers' person-centered therapy. When clients are met with empathy and authenticity, they grow. And somatic approaches like focusing teach us the same, that the body holds what the mind has not yet named. Secondly, the surrogate. Sometimes we heal by borrowing safety from someone else's nervous system. Early in therapy, especially with clients who've experienced trauma or neglect, we become a surrogate attachment figure. We offer consistency, attunement, and presence until the client begins to internalize that sense of safety. Attachment-based therapy shows us this truth really clearly, that the therapeutic relationship itself can be transformative. It rewires for the client what love and connection feel like. Third, the guide. The therapist is not the hero of the story. They are the one who holds the map while the client finds the path. You see, as trust grows, we may shift into the role of guide. We bring our psychological maps, our experience, our education, and our attunement to help clients make meaning, spot patterns, and take the next step on their journey. This is very Jungian, right? The descent into the unconsciousness, the hero's journey. We really aren't leading at all. Rather, we're walking alongside, offering perspective as needed. Fourthly, the archaeologist. Some healing requires digging, not to get stuck in the past, but to understand the roots of the present. Sometimes we're gently excavating. We explore family dynamics, formative memories, early traumas. Like archaeologists, we uncover what's been buried, not to dwell on it, but to integrate it. We often help clients uncover the truth of who they really are. This aligns with psychodynamic theory and inner child work. When clients understand their origins, they reclaim their agency in the present. Fifth, the confessor. To be heard without judgment is one of the most powerful medicines we have. You see, therapy is often the first place a person says the thing that they've never said out loud. The therapist becomes a sacred witness, not to fix, but to hold space. James Pennebaker's research shows that expressing difficult emotions, sometimes just naming them, can lower stress and boost well-being. Sometimes the healing is in the telling. And this is especially when it comes to lifting shame and giving clients the opportunity to share what they've never shared before in a safe space. 6. The mirror. In the presence of a skilled mirror, we remember who we are. As therapists, we reflect back what's true. We reflect strengths, contradictions, longings. It is this mirroring that allows clients to see themselves more clearly and with more compassion. Interpersonal neurobiology reminds us that our brains are wired for relational reflection. When we're seen with accuracy and compassion and care, we reorganize on a neural level. This is the beauty of being a mirror for our clients. 7. The fellow traveler. Sometimes the most healing thing is realizing that you are not alone in your suffering. This is one of my favorite roles. In fact, I actually can't say that. I love them all. But the therapist, not as expert or fixer, but as human, walking alongside the client, sharing the path, offering presence without superiority. Relational cultural theory embraces this idea really well, that mutuality, not perfection, but mutuality, is the soil for healing. That being real is more powerful than being right. Number 8, the priest or shaman. Healing is not just about symptoms, it's about soul. Sometimes therapy enters sacred territory. Clients bring spiritual questions, existential questions. Who am I? What's my purpose? How can I forgive? Am I even still lovable? In these moments, we become meaning makers, not to impose a belief, but to hold the symbolic and intuitive with our clients. Viktor Frankl's logotherapy reminds us, healing often comes from finding meaning, even in the midst of suffering. And lastly, number 9, the sanctuary keeper. True healing requires a space that can hold both the storm and the sunrise. More than a safe space, we become the sanctuary keeper. We hold structure. We regulate the room. We become the container for transformation. Stephen Porges' polyvagal theory teaches that safety is a prerequisite for vulnerability. Our voice, our posture, our presence signal to the client's nervous system, you're okay here, you're safe. So as we go through those again, we started with the midwife, then the surrogate, the guide, the archaeologist, the confessor, the mirror, the fellow traveler, the priest or shaman, and then lastly, the sanctuary keeper. Each of these roles are sacred. These roles aren't rigid or sequential, but they're fluid. They are responsive. We are guided by intuition, training, and most importantly, by relationship. And while we may shift hats throughout the journey, the constant thing is our presence. Not just our skills, but our humanity. Not just our training, but our attunement. In therapy, we do not fix. Rather, we hold, we listen, and we trust what emerges. So whether you're a therapist, a client, or a fellow traveler on the road to healing, may you remember that healing is relational, it is mysterious, and it is deeply human. Thank you for listening to Project I Am. I'm Dr. David Schloss, and until next time, keep walking with compassion, with courage, and with curiosity. May you be well.
The weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're going to love it.